Somewhere in this world is an economist who will eventually write the book about what the great shutdown of 2013 cost.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. No more shutdown, and America can borrow to pay its bills at least through early February now. Yet we're not quite sure how the underlying U.S. economy is doing because the shutdown has held up a lot of official data. But Standard & Poor's estimates the shutdown cost $24 billion in economic activity that never happened, and that's only part of how you might calculate the costs. Economists will also be watching consumer activity and ways the shutdown could hit corporate profits moving forward. Sam Stovall is chief equity strategist at S&P Capital IQ.
There are a lot of companies, especially those in defense as well as in IT, that have direct contacts with the federal government. And once they're shut down, those programs are delayed. Indirectly, companies who are sitting on hoards of cash are going to be less willing to spend that cash if they realize that another fight is just around the corner.
And then, of course, the consumer. I mean, I'm particularly thinking of furloughed government workers going back to work this morning might be a little bit more tentative in their spending as we get into the holidays.
And not just the government workers, but workers in general. The most recent Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index indicated that while current numbers were a little bit better, the forecasted were actually weaker, implying that consumers don't really have a positive outlook. And as a result, that could have a negative impact on holiday spending.
Now, I'm not sure policymakers at the Federal Reserve are listening at the moment, but they will have similar data, and that could persuade them to keep the extraordinary stimulus going a little further.
If the fourth quarter GDP, fourth quarter profits are likely to be weaker, and we're going to have another fight in the first quarter of 2014, then the Fed is going to be less willing, in a sense, to remove the IV from this sick patient. They'll leave the stimulus on a little bit longer.
Sam Stovall, chief equity strategist, S&P, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Will Google's profits due later today meet or miss expectations? Investors are waiting to see if its new way to sell ads is paying off. Advertisers still bid by keywords like plumber or chinos. But now instead of bidding by how consumers will see the ad, desktop computer versus tablet computer versus smartphone, the bidding will be for all platforms at once. Sally Herships reports.
Google says nowadays consumers use multiple devices, so selling ads across several platforms at once streamlines things, right?
The real concern for advertisers here is that you end up bidding on a lot of keywords for devices that you don't really want to bid on.
Chris Nosko teaches marketing at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business.
And what that might do in the end is drive up prices for the people who really do want to bid on those keywords.
Which means higher prices for everyone. But Google says advertisers can opt out of, say, mobile if they don't want to sell their teapots on phones. Rick Summer, an equity analyst at Morningstar, says don't forget, Google sells ads through auctions, so the market will correct prices.
If a customer is worth $100, no advertiser over a long period of time is ever going to spend $150 to acquire that customer.
And he says selling ads in bundles should mean good news for Google over the long term. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And lost in the debt ceiling scramble yesterday, a new government report saying companies that service student loans often leave borrowers hanging. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says people who want to pay down their loans early often run into unnecessary hassle from loan servicers. For people having trouble paying, the service is often even worse.
Enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
You don't expect to be paid for time you spend getting the knot in your scarf or necktie just right before going to work, but what if your work requires you to wear special gear? Next month, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments about the act of putting on work clothes. The case, Sandifer versus U.S. Steel, involves 800 steelworkers in Gary, Indiana. Aaron Mendelson reports.
Bill Ferguson says that working at a steel mill is like standing next to a volcano.
You have a stream of molten iron that lights up the entire area. That stream actually shoots through the air, it jets through the air for about 20 feet before it actually hits a trough. That trough is then full of what looks like molten lava.
He would know. Ferguson's a veteran of the Nanticoke steel plant in Ontario. These days, he's the union president there. He lists off the gear that steelworkers wear in that volcano-like environment.
Helmet, earmuffs, face protectors, a snood, which is a covering that goes over the head down the back of the neck to prevent sparks from getting down the back of your shirt.
Plus fire-retardant boots and jackets and other gear to keep that molten metal away from the skin. On November 4th, the Supreme Court will hear arguments about whether this equipment is actually clothing. That's right. 9 Supreme Court justices in their black robes will debate the legal definition of clothes. The steelworkers say their gear isn't clothing at all, and if the court sides with them, they'll be paid for the time it takes to put the gear on and take it off. Not so fast, say their bosses at U.S. Steel. Catherine Fisk, a law professor at the University of California, Irvine, explains the company's argument by comparing steelworkers to lawyers.
Lawyers have to wear suits to court, but nobody's arguing that lawyers need to be paid for the time they spend putting on a suit or tying a tie.
And that's because the law sees them as just clothes. If the court decides a steelworker's gear is like a lawyer's suit, then U.S. Steel isn't on the hook to pay for that time. But a ruling for the steelworkers could affect other workplaces.
Whether that's an employee at another steel mill or employees working in a poultry processing or meat slaughtering plant, it could have implications for lots of employers and lots of employees.
It all comes down to the legal definition of clothes. I'm Aaron Mendelson for Marketplace.
There's time getting equipped. Then there's the man I heard about this weekend who shaves his head and grows out his beard all to save time getting out of the house in the morning. That would work, wouldn't it? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from ABM, American Public Media.